Welcome to A Closer Look, a special KSKA presentation. A Closer Look allows us to offer our listeners a chance to either learn more about a recent news story or to profile in more depth people doing special work in our community. This afternoon, we're presenting the complete interview that formed the basis for a story on debtors' rights broadcast on KSKA and Alaska Public Broadcasting Network's Alaska News Nightly. For KSKA, I'm Len Anderson. For a variety of reasons, not the least of which is the general economy, some Alaskans may find themselves receiving letters and phone calls from debt collectors. People certainly should pay legitimate debts, but sometimes the methods used to collect money and even the debts themselves can be improper. And all too often, the people dealing with debt collectors don't know their legal rights. Recently, KSKA talked to Jim Davis, an attorney with the Northern Justice Project and a pro bono volunteer for Alaska Legal Services. He'd come on a Friday evening to the Fairview Recreational Center to conduct a debtors' rights workshop sponsored by Alaska Legal Services. The views expressed in the interview are those of the speaker and not of KSKA, the licensee, or underwriters. The interview began by my asking Attorney Davis, what are the most common, questionable practices he encounters when helping people with debt collectors?
Well, I think there are a lot of common problems. Some of the common problems are that debt collectors seek to collect debts that the person doesn't really owe. Sometimes debt collectors seek to collect debts that are time barred, that is, that they're so old that the debt collector has no right to collect those debts, but tries to do so anyways. Sometimes the debt collector has a legitimate debt, but has added a lot of additional illegal charges to that debt and is trying to collect those illegal charges from the debtor. So the types of problems are as varied as you might imagine devious people can come up with in their efforts to get money from others.
What's the time limit on a debt?
It depends on what state, for example, the credit card was issued in. If the credit card was issued in Delaware, it'll have a different timeline than, for example, Colorado. It ranges between 3 and 6 years, and that is the last payment you made on a credit card. That's when the clock starts ticking. And so if the last payment you made was 4 years ago and the debt collector is coming after you now, it may well be you have to look at your card agreement to see where exactly your card's forum selection clause, which is what it's called, what state's law applies, and then you will be able to figure out whether or not that debt is time barred. And if it is time barred, the debt's barred completely. You don't have to pay anything towards that debt, and that's important to know.
Now, you mentioned debts that aren't really owed.
The debts that aren't really owed come in a number of different forms. For example, if you're a surviving son or daughter of somebody, of a mother or father who passed away, those debts expire when your mom or dad passes away. If you're a grown adult, you don't need to be paying those debts. If you want to, as a moral thing, you certainly can, but the law says you don't have to pay those debts. Similarly, if your husband or wife dies, you don't have an obligation to pay those debts either. And you don't have an obligation to pay debts for your significant other if you're an unmarried person cohabiting with another. Those debts pass with the death of the person, although debt collectors never acknowledge that. Debt collectors will go to you. I've just seen letters this past week where they will write to the surviving spouse or the surviving son saying, condolences, your mother passed away. You owe us $5,000. The fact of the matter is the son doesn't owe $5,000 for his late mother's passing. The fact of the matter is the debt should just disappear. The debt collector won't tell you that. The debt collector will write you a letter as if it's simply true that you need to pay the money. And a lot of people believe it and start paying the money.
And you actually had an example of a widow here in Anchorage?
A widow here in Anchorage whose husband had passed away some months ago. All the debt should have passed away, but she was receiving letter after letter from debt collectors telling her to pay the $175 or the $83 or the $4,000, offering her terms that she could pay those debts, when in fact she could simply have written to them saying, my husband has passed away, I don't have any money, and I can't pay these debts, and those debts would have gone away on their own.
What about the selling of debt business?
Well, there a lot of people don't know this, but there's this very big called a secondary debt market where they have big conferences in places like Chicago where all these debt collectors will meet and they will sell huge packages of debt. Wells Fargo or Citibank or Providian will say a package of debt, say of 10,000 accounts, will of 10,000 people who owe money on their credit cards will sell that package of debt to a debt collector called who knows what, Westpac, for example. Westpac will pay between 2 cents and 10 cents on a dollar for that package of debt, take over those 10,000 accounts, and then start sending collection letters and making phone calls to those 10,000 people trying to collect anything more than 2 cents to 10 cents on the dollar, depending on what they paid. Anything they collect above that 2 cents is pure profit to them. So there are huge there are huge secondary debt markets, and there are very motivated people after they buy those debts to collect money. You can make a killing as a debt collector if you shake down or if you get a few people to start paying because you've hardly paid anything to acquire those accounts.
Are there legitimate collectors?
Well, sure. I mean, if you or I owed a debt and we didn't pay it and the bank started writing to us, we'd owe the debt. And we can try to make payments, and we should try to make payments. I mean, I think we all agree on that. Sometimes we lose our job and we can't. And when we can't, we can't. Sometimes the legitimate debt is piled up with so many extra fees, some of which are illegal. Even an honest person couldn't pay the debt because the debt's gone from, say, $1,000 to $2,000 because of all these illegal fees. So, yeah, if you owe an honest debt, you should pay it as honestly as you can. But you can't pay it if you can't pay it. And you don't deserve to be getting phone calls all throughout the day if you can't pay it. And you certainly shouldn't have the debt doubled every 6 months because it's never going to get paid under those circumstances.
Starting to sound like loan sharking.
Well, in a lot of ways, it is like loan sharking. It's legalized loan sharking because in a lot of these states, the debt collectors or the creditors have lobbied their legislatures persuasively to legalize usurious interest rates and excessive fees, and late payment penalties, and all kinds of other things, so that. Although it's not called loan sharking, it has all the indicia of loan sharking.
You hear threats in this state of PFD taking or going into an account?
Well, a couple things. First, about PFDs, Alaskans, unlike almost everybody else in every other state, are never considered to be completely judgment-proof. Judgment-proof is a term lawyers use for somebody who you're just not going to be able to get any money from. When you're judgment-proof, a debt collector will just write off the debt saying, I'm never going to be able to get any money from that person. I'm going to write the person off as judgment-proof and leave them alone. In Alaska, because of our permanent funds, nobody's judgment-proof. Everybody, almost everybody, gets a permanent fund, and therefore everybody is a target of a debt collector with the debt because a debt collector knows no matter what your financial situation is, you will get a permanent fund, and I will take part of it. So that's one thing Alaskans need to know. We are never free and clear because the permanent fund will always create this income stream that debt collectors will intercept come the permanent fund time. There's not a lot to do. There's nothing you can do about that once the debt collector has a judgment against you. And that's, I think, what's important to know. To have a judgment against you so they can actually take your permanent fund, the debt collector has to sue you. Folks need to know when you get sued by a debt collector, you have 20 days to do something. If you don't do something in 20 days, you've lost the case and a judgment goes against you. And then the debt collector really has you where he or she wants you. You have to contact a lawyer, fill out the paperwork, do it on your own, somehow file something in court contesting that lawsuit within 20 days or you're lost. That's the first thing you need to know. The second thing is that if you've had a case filed against you and you've lost it, there will be a judgment entered against you. And in Alaska, what debt collectors do with that judgment is they will take it and sweep all the banks and credit unions in the state seeking to get any money you might have in any of those banks. Sometimes, in this particular case that I'm speaking about, a woman in Bethel who owed a $2,000 judgment had her bank account swept by a local credit union where they seized over $10,000 in her funds and kept that $10,000 for a number of months, even though they were only owed $2,000. You need to be careful when that happens. What's supposed to happen is the debt collector gives you an exemption packet that you file with the judge, and you say, Judge, I don't owe $10,000, I owe $2,000, and the judge will release the monies back to you. The problem is there will sometimes be a multi-month delay before you get the packet, and until you get that exemption packet, you can't even get your monies returned. The best advice is to, if you're sued by a debt collector, don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't lose it in your drawer. You need to do something before judgment's entered against you. Once judgment's entered against you, you're behind the eight ball.
Where can one go to get help? You're facing this. You're starting to get calls. Where do you turn?
I would recommend two places. Alaska Legal Services offers free legal advice throughout the state, and they have offices in most of the communities, Dillingham, Bethel, Fairbanks, Nome. And if you're low income, Alaska Legal Services might be able to help you. There's also consumer credit counseling, which I've heard very good things about, where they can help a debtor who owes money consolidate all the debts into a workable package. They can stop the calls from the debt collectors. They can stop the remitting volume of letters that a debtor sometimes gets from a number of different debt collectors and consolidate those debts into one package so it's a manageable load for the debtor and can be paid off over time, what the debtor can afford, rather than dealing with this very stressful situation of phone calls and letters over and over again that you see a lot of times when a debtor has a number of different accounts that are behind. One other thing that's very important to know, and a lot of folks don't know this, there are a lot of kinds of monies that are completely exempt from all kinds of debt collectors. Social Security, public assistance, disability monies, all those monies are completely protected either by state or federal law from any kind of debt collection activity. Unfortunately, debt collectors don't really care about state and federal law, nor do the banks. And so if you have your disability money or your public assistance money in the bank, sometimes the debt collectors will try to get that money from you. You need to know it's completely protected. It violates federal and state law for anybody to try to take your disability or Social Security money. And you need to contact a lawyer right away if that happens, because not only can you get your money back, you might be able to get penalties against the debt collector for doing that to wipe the debt out completely. And I've seen that on more than one occasion where a debt collector has crossed lines so much that they not only have to return the money they took, they have to write off the whole debt completely because they're in legal hot water.
You're listening to KSKA's Closer Look. Today's program features an interview with Jim Davis, an attorney with the Northern Justice Project and a pro bono volunteer for Alaska Legal Services. Davis's specialty is debtors' rights. Now, back to the interview that provided the basis for a recent, much shorter news story on the same topic.
When the guys hit the Chicago gathering and they buy this debt, then they start calling and someone says, well, I don't know your name. Where did you get this? Tell me, I had three Providian cards. Which debt am I working with here? And they'll say, we don't have to tell you, or sometimes they'll say, well, we don't know about any agreement you may have signed.
That's a good point. Well, I guess two bits of advice. There's a great national organization in Boston called the National Consumer Law Center. It has a great website, and any consumer or any debtor who has questions about what can I do to protect myself against debt collectors should go onto their website. I went onto that website earlier this morning, and there's a lot of great materials about what you need to do as a debtor to protect yourself when you're starting to get harassed by a debt collector. So I'd recommend the NCLC site. One of the things that debtors need to know is that when you first get a letter from a debt collector, that letter has to tell you, you owe us whatever, $5,000, and you have the right for verification about that debt. You only have 30 days to seek verification. And my advice is to always ask for verification. What is verification? Verification is where you write back to the debt collector and say, look it, I don't know who you are. I don't know why you think I owe $5,000, but I want to see all the paperwork that supports your claim that I actually owe $5,000. One of two things will happen. First, you might get all the material and you'll see this is how I owe $5,000. And all of us want to know why we owe money if somebody wants it from us. So you can get that package of material. But more likely than not, what happens is that the debt collector who's bought this debt on the secondary market has none of the documentation. The reason they have none of the documentation is because when you buy the debt on the secondary market, you never get the underlying documentation from the original creditor, for example, Wells Fargo. All you get is the fact that Joe Smith owes $5,000. So if a debtor's thinking wisely, the debtor will ask for verification. The debt collector won't be able to provide the verification, and oftentimes that's the end of the matter. The debt collector will simply write off the debt thinking, This debtor knows his or her rights. I don't want to mess with him or her, and I don't have the verification that he or she's required and that federal law demands that I give to him or her. And that debt collector will just sell that debt to another person, which sometimes leads to you get another letter 6 months from Frank's collection service saying, pay me the $5,000. You always need to ask for verification in a timely fashion, A, to confirm that you really owe the money, and to put the debt collector to proof. Maybe he doesn't have any proof you owe the money. That's my advice.
What one or two cases that you handled here in Anchorage or in Alaska that just even had you with your experience shaking your head and thinking, this is sleaze beyond sleaze?
Well, the two most egregious cases that I've handled, and I've handled more than the cases, are where there's a debt that by all perspectives is completely time barred. Say the debt is 8 years old. There's no state in the country that allows a debt collector to collect on a debt that's 8 years old. The debt's 8 years old. The lawyers that are suing the low-income person know it. The debt collector knows it, but they sued the person anyways, got a judgment, started taking this person's money when they all knew they had absolutely no legal right to any of it. And when we finally found out about the case and started helping the lady who had this lawsuit filed against her, ultimately we got the debt forgiven, we got her money returned, and we got them to pay her compensation of thousands of dollars for doing that to her. But it's the tip of the iceberg. The case that we saw and we helped on, there's 100 cases in town where we didn't know about and we weren't able to help on the person, which means that a low-income person that had no legal duty to pay the money was paying the money. That's outrageous. The other outrageous thing, and I see this is like a weekly occurrence, somebody with completely exempt monies, completely protected monies, an elder on Social Security, a disabled person receiving disability payments, has those completely protected monies seized by a debt collector and not returned ever or for months, even though it was completely exempt as a matter of federal or state law. I mean, and you have to remember, the folks that are receiving Social Security and disability payments, they're already living on the margins. They're already barely able to make their rent payments and their grocery, and buy their groceries. And so when you seize that person's $873 and you keep it for 6 months when you had no right to do it in the first place, it's outrageous. And it happens daily. I'm serious. It's really outrageous.
Given the economy, are you seeing increased business?
Well, I don't know if I call it increased business. I'm seeing increased needs. I mean, what you see is now folks are going to miss a car payment, or folks are going to miss their rent payment, or they're going to miss their credit card payment. And not only do they have to pay 20% interest on that, but a lot of these players in town, landlords, car dealers, credit card companies, credit unions, are tacking on late fees. $100 late fee if you pay your rent. Your rent, $600. You pay it late, you get $100 late fee on top of it. Your car payments, $383. You pay it late, you get $100 late fee on top of that. The late fees that I'm seeing, because people have, I think, less expendable money nowadays because of the economy, it just makes a bad problem worse. It means you couldn't make the payment in the first place, and now you got $100 surcharge on top of it. So, yeah, it's bad.
Do you encounter people who take a long time to come to you because of embarrassment?
I don't know if it's embarrassment or if it's like going to see the doctor or dentist. I mean, I don't think I'm embarrassed to see the dentist. I just try to put it off until my tooth really hurts because it's an unpleasant experience. So I think that I see a lot of folks that have waited until we're behind the eight ball. They've waited until the debt collector's taken their money and sued them and defaulted them. And then it's all scrambling to try to catch up and to try to get things back on the even keel. Yeah, ideally, in my opinion, and with 20 years of legal experience, it would be much more, it would be way better if somebody who had a debt issue either went to consumer credit counseling before it went into court, or contacted us at the Northern Justice Project, or contacted Alaska Legal Services before the case went to court. Once it goes to court and they've taken all your money, it's hard to get it back. It can be done, but it's like fighting, walking uphill, and it's a fight that could be avoided if you just seek help before it goes terminal.
Oh, okay. Well, no. Go ahead. Okay. Do that.
One other thing I want to mention is that there are foreclosure scams here in Anchorage. The typical foreclosure scam here in Anchorage is that when you start falling behind in your house payment, the bank has to post public notice that you're falling behind in your house payment. what there are a number of there are a number of businesses and people here in town and in Alaska that keep track of everybody falling behind on their mortgage payments. And as soon as you do, they send you a letter. I've seen these letters. The letters start off something like this. Dear Mr. Smith, we see you're making you're having a hard time making your mortgage payment. We can help. We're going to help you. All you need to do is call us and we'll help you. Trust me, none of these foreclosure scams will help you. All of these foreclosure claims will help you lose your house quicker. What they usually do is they ask you to sign title over and then they cure the default with the bank, but you end up losing your house and becoming a tenant. If you fall behind in your house payment, do what you need to do to protect your house. Go see a lawyer. Go to Alaska Legal Services. Do not call anybody offering you foreclosure assistance. It's like the little signs you see on the telephone poles around town. Sit home and make $1,200 a month from your bedroom. Nobody's making $1,200 a month in their bedroom. If they are, they're probably doing something illegal. If someone's offering you free foreclosure assistance, you're getting a letter in the mail from somebody, they're trying to take advantage of you. They're trying to take your house away. Go see a lawyer before the foreclosure goes any farther and before you talk to the foreclosure assistance people.
That just made me think of something else. When we talked about CCCS, there are a lot of consolidate your debt advertisements on TV, particularly late at night, when I would guess someone who's worried about their debts and things is sitting up watching TV and particularly vulnerable. Where we have one organization in town who's been there helping people for a long time, we see other advertisements about, oh, let us just consolidate your debt from Good Friends Incorporated.
Yeah, don't deal with them. I've seen those ads too. The only player in Alaska that I'm familiar with that's accredited by the National Accrediting Agency, and I forget the name for that, is Consumer Credit Counseling here in Anchorage. Anybody else who wants to help consolidate your debts, I'd say no to. If you really need help consolidating your debts, if you really want to work with an agency that's going to assist you in dealing with creditors, go to CCS. They have an 800 number. They'll deal with you if you're in the bush. You don't have to be here in Anchorage. And they're accredited. You can trust them. And from what I've seen of these ads where Frank's going to help consolidate your debt or somebody else, anybody, no, don't do that. I mean, you're asking for trouble. If there's nobody else in Alaska, then you might have to go outside. But there is. There's an entity here in town that does good work statewide, and there's no reason, I think, to go elsewhere.
You've been doing this for 2 decades.
I have.
That's a pretty strong personal commitment. How come?
Well,
you'd be making more money doing something else.
No, I was making way more money doing something else. The honest answer is I grew up in a low-income family, and we had to wait every month to pay our bills. I know what that's like. We end up getting evicted because we couldn't pay our rent. So I know what that's like from growing up, and I empathize with that. When I was making a lot more money working for big companies and big law firms, it was nice to have a lot more money and a big fancy car, but it wasn't very gratifying, and I find it much more gratifying to work for people who have real legal needs and real legal problems and are facing, you know, a personal crisis that you can actually help address, whereas working for BP, you know, who are you really helping? I mean, that's not my cup of tea.
Anything you'd like to add?
No, I think the only thing that I just want to reemphasize, although I said it already once, everybody, look, we all have debts. It's a common thing, especially in the recession that we're in now. Don't feel embarrassed about your debts. Don't think the debts are going to go away if you don't answer the phone or don't open your mail. Don't think the letter from the court system saying you've been sued is going to be fixed if you set it down in your bedroom for a month or two. You need to take action. There are entities here in Alaska, including Alaska Legal Services, Consumer Credit Counseling, the Northern Justice Project, and other entities that can help you. But you need to take the first step on your own. You need to call somebody. You need to see somebody. If they say there's a waiting list, then you might need to wait or go somewhere else. But do something. Do not sit, because sitting only multiplies the problems. Kind of like not going to the dentist usually means your teeth are going to get worse. They'll end up pulling 3 of your teeth out instead of 1. So do something sooner rather than later.
You've just heard an interview featuring Anchorage attorney Jim Davis, a specialist in debtors' rights. Davis is an attorney for the Northern Justice Project and is a pro bono volunteer for Alaska Legal Services. Closer Look is a special KSKA presentation that offers our listeners a chance to learn more about a topic that has formed the basis for a recent news story or profile people doing special work in our community. This program will be posted on our website, kska.org. This is Len Anderson, thanking you for listening.